See, we have everyone here. So good morning, everyone. I'm Jean-Pierre Wolf, chair of the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. And today, Thursday, May 28th, and it's approximately 8:30, we will start our meeting. Our clerk of the board, Tammy, would you please make roll call?
Dr. Wolf?
Present.
Dr. Hunter?
Present.
Ms. Cervantes?
Here.
Mr. Delgado?
Here.
Mr. Johnston?
Right here.
Ms. Thomasberg?
Present.
Mr. Young?
So, Mr. Harris, would you make introductions, please?
Sure. Before I do that, I just want to remind the board, I know we sent information out to the board, but moving forward, I just want to remind everyone that all votes now will be roll call votes. I think we sent the explanation out, the legal requirements now, so I just wanted to remind the board of that. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to introduce the regular staff who assist the board, and then we're going to do a quick update on the oil spill, and then I'm going to introduce our new staff. So assisting the board today is, of course, our clerk, Tammy Olson, and to my right is our attorney today, Assistant Chief Counsel Lori Oaken. On the phone is Jessica Jarr, and Mr. Thomas, our executive officer, is having more fun at a wedding than he could have here, so I understand why he's not here. With that, I'm going to turn it over to our enforcement coordinator, Taya Tryon, to give us a quick update on very fast evolving events dealing with the oil spill in Santa Barbara.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Taya Tryon. In addition to being the enforcement coordinator, I'm also the site cleanup program manager and a senior engineering geologist here. So I've been primarily involved in dealing with the oil spill for our office, and this is actually a figure I obtained from Wikipedia. It's already up on the internet, and I thought it was a very good figure to show what has happened. The spill occurred on May 19th, and it's referred to as the Refugio incident or the Santa Barbara oil spill. Santa Barbara County Fire Department responded to a complaint of odor, and they went out on May 19th and they discovered that a pipeline had been ruptured, and it was a 24-inch pipeline. The spill is reported to have an estimated release of around 100,000 gallons of crude oil, and that oil you'll see here, this is where the pipeline was located. So some of the oil spilled into some culverts and made its way all the way to the beach and into the ocean. It's estimated around 20,000, but all of these are just estimates. Nobody really gives firm answers. It's hard to know what the actual gallons are. To date, at a press conference that Dr. Wolf and I attended yesterday, the Fish and Wildlife indicated that to date there's 16 dead birds and 9 dead mammals, mainly sea lions, and the birds are brown pelicans. So it's a very serious spill. It really has affected, and it's going to be a long-term impact. And right now the incident is being managed under the unified command. It's a very important method of handling emergency situations, because there's so many state and federal agencies involved that the U.S. Coast Guard is the lead agency, along with the Fish and Wildlife, who are really the experts in this and handling something like this. Water Board has been involved in a different way. I'm personally involved as a technical specialist in the environmental unit. And what I did yesterday morning was I met with representatives from NOAA, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, all different types of agencies to come up with cleanup endpoints, they're called. They're basically cleanup endpoints when it's decided by all the agencies when clean is clean enough. And that's a very important process to be involved in. And so I've been involved in that for the Water Board. I think at this point we will also be involved with the actual release site. So the Unified Command is mainly dealing with the oil in the ocean and along the shoreline, which is more the emergency situation. And then after that, we'll be more involved with the County of Environmental Health to deal with the soils that have oil impacts near the pipeline. From an enforcement point of view, we will also be involved, but that I can't discuss. With that, if there are any questions.
It seems odd to me that there would be culvert pipes so proximate to a large amount of oil, such that if there was a spill or overage, that it would go into these pipes.
These are underground pipelines. So stormwater does have to run off, and so there are culverts. And it's just unfortunate that the release occurred near a culvert, but we do have to have culverts to handle runoff, stormwater runoff.
Okay. In normal times, is there oil residue in this general vicinity that could be collected in storm runoff and go?
No, all these pipelines run underground and they're not supposed to leak. And so it's just a accident, and I don't know any of the details of what happened, but the pipeline ruptured and oil was released and it found a way to get to the ocean.
Do you know if there are many examples where there are storm drains next to long linear conveyance pipes such as this?
I haven't researched that.
And how long is this pipe? I mean, does it go miles inland? Does it go 100 feet inland?
It runs all along the 101.
So it's a north-south?
Yes.
And I'll add that the pipeline actually comes under U.S. Department of Transportation jurisdiction. They're the ones that are actually investigating the actual leak and will be supervising the excavation of the damaged portion. The damaged portion will then be sent to an independent laboratory engineering firm to determine what caused the rupture, whether it was, you know, corrosion or whatever the cause is. So the state doesn't even have a role in the pipeline per se. That's outside of our jurisdiction.
Doug,
yeah. It's my understanding also the count. It's one of the few pipelines that the county also has no authority over to monitor or receive any kind of management or information on the maintenance of those pipelines. So again, it complicates things, but I understand as of this morning, the Coast Guard did close approximately 7 miles of the coastline along the area because of additional oil washing up on the shore. So they're continuing to be deeply engaged, I believe. I witnessed it myself driving along the coast this weekend. So.
Yeah, what I forgot to mention is on May 20th, the day after the release, El Capitan and Refugio Beach was closed, and right before Memorial Day weekend. But, you know, it's a very dynamic situation. We can't predict what waves will do, what currents will do. So the Coast Guard's job is to monitor the coastline, to monitor the oil, and there's also NOAA that's involved in the submerged oil and evaluating, constantly evaluating when it's, what it's doing and doing cleanup.
So just so you know, the three of us that are sitting in front of you, were in contact with Department of Justice and US EPA over the weekend, working to coordinate on a number of activities along with all the other agencies. Alexa Strauss, who is the Assistant Deputy Regional Administrator for US EPA in San Francisco, has asked the Coast Guard to stay on site longer than they normally do. Typically, they come in, they oversee the initial emergency, and they pull out, and she has asked them to stay longer on site.
Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, I'm realize it's real early in the game here, and I also realize that the enforcement team is kind of walled off from the rest of the staff. Am I correct in assuming that we may or may not have an enforcement role in follow-up on this, that the EPA or the state board, if they choose to, can assume jurisdiction on this?
So the actual enforcement is being handled by the U.S. Department of Justice. EPA has, I spoke to Alexis, and she has already invited us to participate. They want us to be part of that. I mean, I don't know any of the details. That's months away before anything really transpires. But given the initial contact that I've had with U.S. EPA, I think it's likely that we have. And in fact, our office is working to coordinate. Does that answer your question, Mr. Johnson?
Thank you. Proceed, Mr. Harris.
Okay. Next, we have a number of new staff, actually four new staff, and I'm going to ask their seniors, Taya and John Robertson and Chris Adair and Dominic or Lisa, to introduce them in whatever they wish to do so. And I guess since Taya is already up, I guess we'll start with Taya.
Again, this is Taya Tryon with the Site Cleanup Program, and this is Sarah Treadwell. She's our new engineering geologist for the Site Cleanup Program, and it's an interesting story how Sarah came to work with us. A while ago, I don't even know, 3 years ago, Hillary Hauser from Heal the Ocean contacted me and said, you know, I've been going through GeoTracker, and there's all these sites you're not working on, and you're not working hard enough, and I said, okay, yes, I wish I could work on every site, but I can't, and I do have to prioritize, and sometimes GeoTracker's not up to date. And she goes, well, what can I do to help? So Sarah came, she at that time was a Cal Poly student in doing earth sciences major, and Heal the Ocean paid for her to work with us to upload all sorts of documents, to develop guidance on how to upload things on GeoTracker. And she single-handedly handled all the up-to-date GeoTracker for the city of Santa Barbara through our cooperation with Heal the Ocean. And so then after that, there was a opening for a scientific aide, and she worked for us, and she helped me with a lot of different tasks and site cleanup. Then she applied for an open EG position, and she did a great job and was really qualified to meet that job, and we hired her, and I'm really excited to have Sarah Harris. She has her degree from Cal Poly. She also managed a nursery for many years and worked for a contractor that handled hazardous waste, and so she knows a lot about hazardous waste transportation, et cetera, and we're just having a really good time in trying to handle all these cases that are new to her. She's identifying things that, you know, with fresh eyes, and I'm really, really pleased to have her join our team.
Good morning. I am John Robertson. I'm the section manager for the groundwater section. And this is Aaron Katona. Aaron is the first of hopefully several active oil field regulation staff in our office. Aaron joined us in January of this year, so he's been with us just about, 5 months now?
Yes.
And Aaron comes to us most recently from the Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources, which you may know as Dogger. They're in the news quite a bit lately. We won't go past that. Aaron had 16 months there, and then prior to that, it was Cal State Fullerton, right? I wanted to check this.
Yes.
Right. So Aaron earned his bachelor's and is working on his master's in geology. We're thinking spring 2016 for your completion of your master's.
That's the point,
I believe. And then prior to that, Aaron worked for an outfit called the U.S. Army Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, just checking. And coincidentally, he worked in drinking water purification, which is actually very applicable to what we're doing nowadays in this office. You also did a tour of duty in Iraq while you were there, too. So. Aaron, you want to say anything?
Yeah, I think it covers it.
Welcome aboard.
Good morning. I'm Chris Adair. I'm the program manager for the Waste Discharge Requirements Program. I'd like to introduce John Rocky. John has joined us from Region 7. He's worked 12 years with the state, with the water boards, and he will be overseeing San Luis Obispo County waste discharge requirements. So welcome, John.
Welcome.
Thanks.
And you'll get to know John quite well tomorrow.
And I'm Lisa McCann, the section manager for the Watershed Planning and Protection section, and I'm introducing Michael Godwin on behalf of Dominic Rock, who's on vacation. And Mike has, he's working in stormwater, reporting to Dominic, and that's a little bit of new territory for Mike, but he's doing a great job so far. He has extensive experience in groundwater investigations and cleanup, and he's worked for Caltrans, he's worked for the San Francisco Bay Regional Board. In fact, we worked there together. I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, it was a very long time ago, so it's kind of fun to reconnect. And he worked for private consulting as well, and some of his work dealt with mines as well as uranium tailing type cleanups and landfill mitigation as well. And he's had the good fortune, I think he considers it good fortune, to have worked in all over the world in this capacity. So he's been to the Aleutian Islands, he's been to several states, and somewhere else really exotic. Oh, Turkey. And one of those states includes Alaska. So he's moved around quite a bit in doing this work. He has two daughters and one just graduated. He's an avid bicycle rider, so he joined some colleagues here that have similar interests, and he told me that he still enjoys looking for different types of rocks, so he harkens back to his geology roots where he got his degree from Cal State Northridge. So this is Mike.
Thank you.
Oh, I was also going to say that we failed to tell Mr. Harris that we have one other staff we wanted to introduce, and that's Paula Richter, and Phil Hammer is going to introduce her.
So you're probably wondering where all these new staff are coming from, and they're coming out of the woodwork.
It's good to see our staff growing to meet the need, that's for sure.
Good morning, I'm Phil Hammer with the 401 program. This is Paula Richter. She comes to us from the Brin School of Environmental Science and Management in Santa Barbara. She recently graduated there. She's been with us since November. While she was at the Brin School, she worked on habitat restoration, wetland restoration with the Cheadle Center of Biodiversity. So she's been bringing us a fresh perspective on coastal salt marsh protection. And she's been doing a great job, and we're glad to have her.
Welcome. So speaking of, I think that's the last new staff, but speaking of new staff, I'm pleased to tell you that a decision has been made regarding additional oil staff, assuming that the positions stay in the governor's budget, which I, given the level of activity regarding Dogger and other related activities, that we'll be getting two new staff just for oil-related work in the new fiscal year. Finally, we want to just take a moment to introduce some staff who are going to be leaving us, and not staff, but students. And the reason I wanted to do that is they're kind of the satellite workers that you don't normally meet, and these are staff who have been with us a couple of years. I don't think all of them are here today, but they have done a marvelous job for us, and they aren't just, you know, pushing paper around. They're actually doing real work, and we give them whatever they can handle to make sure they have a good experience. And, you know, one student, for example, worked on permitting the Cambria, and you all recall how much time and effort we put into that. So we certainly appreciate that, and I just thought it was appropriate to give them some recognition and to say thank you and good luck wherever travels may take them. So I'm not sure quite
who is here? Kendall's the one actually, is the one who actually helped us on Cambria.
Yes, Kendall is a student in the, this is Taya Tryon, site cleanup. Kendall is a student in the site cleanup program, and she has been a tremendous help for me. Not only does she help me with program management type work, such as, you know, we have over 150 responsible parties enrolled in the cost recovery program, and to manage that database with people changing addresses, et cetera, she single-handedly handles that, and every year we have to issue many, many letters, and it's really nice to have her to manage all that for me. And she's also been involved with very highly technical projects, such as the Cambria project, building spreadsheets for us, comparing numbers, and doing very detailed work, and she's done a fabulous job of that. And she also was involved in one of our cases where there were actual geotechnical calculations that needed to be done, and she happened to be taking a class in geotechnical engineering, so that came in really handy, because who remembers that, right? And so Kendall, she came to us about 2.5 years ago. She came and visited me through a reference from one of our staff, and she wanted to get experience, and I'm so happy she did that. Kendall is an environmental engineer. She's just about to graduate from Cal Poly, and even though she got accepted at USC to do a master's there in engineering, she decided to go to Australia and do her master's there, which is very exciting. I'm very happy for her. I'm very, very sad to see her go. She is very professional, very detail-oriented, and but I wish her lots of luck.
Thank you, and good luck.
So whenever you know, people start talking about cutting, and I see Mr. Moore's with us, about cutting student budgets, they really do augment our staff. I mean, if they aren't here to help us, that's work that doesn't get done, or it just slows everything up.
And I'm guessing, Mr. Harris, that we send them off with a very nice letter of recommendation, I'm assuming.
If they ask for that, we certainly would. Absolutely.
Well, here's your chance. I would be asking for that letter. It doesn't work to come back a year later, because everything changes. So yeah. Be sure you walk away with your letter.
Yeah. This is Ashley Batance Kern. She worked with us for several years in the 401 program. And during the time she's been here, that program has really had a lot of new tracking requirements to make the program more accountable, and she's been very important and instrumental in helping us meet all those new requirements, and she's just been a huge help. She's going to be graduating in a couple weeks, and in environmental engineering, and then going to a summer internship, and then I believe returning to Cal Poly for your master's. Yeah. So yeah, so she's just been a great help, and we're really sorry to lose her.
This is kind of a mini graduation we're having here, isn't it?
Yeah. He's not here this morning, and on behalf of Dominic and the Stormwater Program, I wanted to recognize James Pilkington. He's been with us for, I'm not sure how long, I think, Phil, do you know? One of your staff hired him, so at least a year, maybe longer, and he's been really instrumental also in sort of managing a lot of the administrative aspects of the Stormwater Program, review of projects that come in with notices for review of CEQA documents, and a lot of things that just kind of keep us on track. So he too is graduating, going off to an internship up in San Francisco this summer. So anyway, we appreciate all that James has done with us.
Wanted to introduce to you Ben Kalo. Ben is actually a volunteer. He has a master's degree in geology, has experience working for the oil industry, as well as experience working for Department of Water Resources. And while Ben was in transition, he offered to volunteer here. He's been volunteering here for the last 2.5 months. And in that short period of time has added great value. He's been mapping our environmental justice communities, our nitrate and groundwater, as well as domestic well, areas with domestic wells. So he's added great tremendous value. We're hoping that we'd be able to give him the opportunity to apply for a position. Unfortunately, a full-time position was offered to him, so he will be leaving with us. So, but I wanted to take the time to recognize his volunteer work without pay to help us out. So thanks, Ben.
And excuse me, does he have family here?
No, just a girlfriend.
Thank you, Ben.
Well, to all our Region 3 alumni students, good luck to all of you. Now, I see a significant amount of students leaving us. Do we have replacements?
Oh, they're already starting to, already looking.
All
so
right.
Hopefully, and I hope that the fact that they tend to stay with us for a number of years is an indication of the experience that they get from working here and the way the seniors and the staff put them to use, giving them meaningful experience. So.
And I would assume that the students who are leaving us are also sharing the information for your network of friends that this is a great place to learn a little bit more, and particularly with the Cal Poly, the Learn by Doing. So thank you again.